Go ahead with our recording.
Thank you very much, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the SICOS PDP Working Group on the 26th of March 2013. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Chris George, Mark Anderson, Roy Balest, John Blumenthal, Carolyn Hoover, Jonathan Zook, Avi Doria, and Tim Ruiz. We have apologies from Susan Kawaguchi, Jill Titzer, Suzanne Poisseux, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Alan Greenberg, and Frédéric Guillemot. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Pogan. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie, and welcome all to the call. We've got, as you can see over on the right, a pretty active agenda. We're starting to get into that busy period in working groups that's so much fun, where a lot of information's coming in and we get to review it and work on it. So we'll just take a brief pause to see if anybody wants to add or change anything about the agenda and check in on statements of interest, any changes there. All right, then. What you see on your screen is a document that Marika circulated to the list a day or so ago and then just updated recently with a little bit of information from Michael Young. Marika, do you want to take us through this? How do you want to proceed here?
This is Marika, as you want. So basically what I've done is the feedback that was received on the ad hoc expert group mailing list, I've just put it into underneath the relevant questions for the different responders, and that's what you see up on the screen. So I don't know if people
okay.
had an opportunity to review that or, you know, or whether people want to take a minute to read through it. And then, because I guess one of the questions is, you know, is it sufficient information for the sub-teams to, you know, continue their discussions, or whether there are any clarifying questions or follow-up questions that people may want to ask and go back with to the expert group.
Yeah, I think those are the questions that were on my mind for sure. Steve isn't on the call today. Do we have anybody from the authoritative sub-team on the call? Or are we speaking to a group that isn't here?
Mikey, this is Mark.
You're here.
I'm on the authoritative group, but unfortunately I've missed the last meeting, so I'm not sure I can give an update on that.
Well, the status on that one is that we've got, and we're going to get to that in a second on this agenda, is we've got some drafts that came out of the group, and Marika has created a tentative draft for the report. And I think that maybe rather than belabor this now, what we probably need to do is push these responses back to the groups to make sure that they don't conflict, really, with the tentative draft. You know, we've got sort of this funny timing thing where we sort of went ahead and did a draft, and I think we just need to sort of do a reality check there. Mark, could I saddle you with the job of sort of nudging this response back to the authoritative group? And
Absolutely. Yeah, I see your point. I see what you're going for. That's not a problem at all.
Yeah, my very quick read is that it doesn't conflict a whole lot, but I would like to sort of close the loop on that. Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. I think just to agree with you, what you said, Mikey, I think as well, having briefly looked through it, it seems to be in line with what we've covered in the proposed section on authoritativeness, as we raised there as well, the issue that, you know, there may be discrepancies, but it's, you know, not necessarily a thin versus thick issue that may already happen now. And I think it's something that comes back as well in, I'm trying to remember now which of the transactions. I think the synchronization one, I think in that one we also raised the same topic, and I think it comes back to one of the points made by Greg, who says that basically once the data was migrated to a SIG registry, the SIG registry was for practical purposes considered authoritative, and the registrar would then actually point to the SIG registry, to the database there, as a way of avoiding any discrepancies. And I think that's one of the elements or one of the suggestions that have been made, I believe, by Volker on the mailing list, and something that was included or suggested on the mailing list that may be discussed further in relation to the synchronization chapter on whether that would be a potential solution for addressing this problem with possible differences or discrepancies between data.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it was on the last call, which I listened to but didn't participate in. I think that's where we started to make the distinction between sort of the authoritativeness in terms of where you go look for data as opposed to the responsibility for maintaining it, and that the registrars are where the data comes from. And so I think the key here is just to weave these all together so that we make sure that they're consistent, and if there are any things that aren't consistent, that we sort of highlight those. So, Mark, if I could leave you with that action, that would be great.
Absolutely. I will take that back to the subgroup.
Terrific. Now, Marika, is this the... As I scroll through this, was it really only the responses? Was this all for the authoritative group, or was there another series of questions from another group? My mind is foggy today.
Yeah, this is Rick. If you scroll down to...
oh, there we go.
Three. Yeah, there's a question from the privacy and data protection subgroup.
Yeah. Let's see. Who have we got? Well, Don is here. Don, have you had a chance to take a look at this response?
Yeah, I have. Mark's on that subgroup also.
Oh, good.
To be honest, my first reaction was I'm really disappointed at how few responses we got. And the people who answered in some ways are the least likely to have knowledge in this area. I was hoping we'd get more from people like Chuck and Howard, who are more the legal slash policy side. The responses, to do a quick and dirty summary, didn't surprise me, which is that the issues really weren't looked at very closely.
Well, sometimes, a non-response is what you get. And,
yeah, I know, but it doesn't help. Doesn't help the cause, given some of the discussions on our phone calls. Or maybe it does. I don't know. The one thing I did have a question about is that the last paragraph of the document there. I'm not quite sure what Christopher means here about rate-limiting fell out of discomfort. Is he saying that it's not used or it is used?
Well, that's a good question. The last paragraph from Michael Young sort of...
Okay, that's... I apologize.
Responds to that.
Long document to the item.
Yeah, well, the one on the screen has got Michael's comment in there.
Right,
and I think he...
back over to the screen.
That's right. You're using that cool new toy on your
tablet. Or Mikey, could you scroll down to the end?
I think you have control. I'll tell you what, I'll force, everybody's stuck on the end now. I just took control for a second. I'm going to release control now, so hopefully others can scroll up and down again. Um, But, you know, what Michael was sort of saying was that they they started thinking about rate limiting and then they sort of backed off.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
No. Read this here.
I'll tell you what. I'll let you read for a second, Don, and I'll go to Mark while you're doing that, and then we'll circle back to you. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. It's Mark. I was just gonna. I remember there being a. You know, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a component of org where they were supposed to develop a bulk whois service, but ended up, you know, not offering that? I think this is what that refers to. And then, you know, I think, you know, it's not that they. I think they did develop a rate limiting service. I suspect, you know, most people have rate limiting services on whois to one degree or another, but. I think that's what this is referring to. You know, Michael says we developed the rate limiting service in both the interest of technical control and in mitigation of DDoS, as well as to discourage active data mining of whois. I think that's, you know, that's probably a fairly, you know, important point that, you know, rate limiting is, you know, one of the ways that you can discourage data mining of the whois service. That's all I was going to comment on.
Yeah, I think that certainly reads consistently with the way I read it. I'm going to throw something in from the chat, and then I'll circle back to Don. Roy commented that he looked also at the responses on data protection, and in his opinion, the expert panel cannot, it seems, answer data protection laws with certainty because it lacks an expert in European law. In particular, data protection law, and Tim chimed in agreeing with that. Don, back to you. I don't want to really spiral into a data protection discussion. I mostly want to get a sense as to whether we need to take another step with the experts, and if so, what that step would be. Back to you, Don.
Okay, just real briefly. Yeah, I agree, and I think one of the commenters said that the expertise wasn't there. You know, the thing is, I think when we're talking to the experts, we're talking about expertise on what the law was 10 years ago,
yeah.
In any event. But yeah, now I, like I said, I was just not clear on what Christopher was saying there. Michael's correct. We do rate limiting on whois queries, and I don't think we ever offered that service.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think I'm going to leave this topic, and I'm going to leave you, Don, with sort of the same action I left Mark with, which is to take these back to the group and see, how they weave into your discussion, and B, whether there are any follow-on questions that you want to put to the group.
It's already cut and pasted into an email that's ready to go.
All right.
Tomorrow.
Good deal. Okay. Well, unless there's something else that people want to draw out of these comments, I kind of want to push on through this pretty full agenda into the drafts that we've circulated on the list. So sort of last call on these comments from expert group, and I'm not seeing any hands, so we'll move on then to the whichever one Marika puts up first, probably authoritativeness, but I'm not sure. Yep, there's authoritativeness. Now, these, just to replay the bidding, have been discussed once. These drafts have been discussed once on the call last week. And it's sort of my sense that in many cases what we're doing is we're reviewing them mostly to check to see whether the changes that were suggested last week made it into the draft correctly and hopefully getting close to being able to approve them. Marika, you want to refine my understanding?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify that it's only this draft that was discussed at the last week's meeting, as well as the stability one. But on the stability one, I think there was only one comment that I still had, or question I had on one of the edits that was specifically for Rick Wesson, and I've reached out to him, but I haven't heard back yet, so that's why I haven't circulated that draft again. But this one is the only one that was reviewed last week, and indeed the changes marked in here are based on last week's discussion. The other drafts are actually new drafts based on the reports from the sub-team and or the discussions from last week's meeting.
Okay, so I'm going to push us pretty fast through this first one, because the sense I got, at least from listening to the call last week, I'm sorry I wasn't able to make it, is that we're pretty close on this. And so unless there's something that leaps out at people, or if you missed last week's call and there's something that you're seeing for the first time, I'd like to give this one the tentative approval, with the understanding that then we would, I'm thinking, and I'm sort of inventing this as I go, that maybe what we do is rather than circulate all of these to the list individually for consensus, that we simply put it in the pile of report draft for now. And then when we get all these sections done, I think it will be easier for us to go through them all together and iron out inconsistencies and drive towards consensus. So I'm not going to try and go through the whole formal release followed by a week on the list followed by a formal consensus process here, if that's okay with folks. So I'm sneaking that in on you. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. In relation to this specific draft, one comment I do have is, you know, we added on the UDRP, and the fact that in the case of the UDRP, registrars whose data is treated as authoritative. There was actually one comment as well in the feedback we received from the expert panel from Greg Aaron that I think observes that same thing, that it's basically and he's basically wondering whether I can should consider whether a change is warranted to the UDRP rules, noting that if the TLD is thick, then the registry is an authoritative source of data. So this may be a question or a possible conclusion that if there would be, at the end of the day, a recommendation for thick who is, that may be one of the elements that you may want to suggest or consider that's also addressed at the same time. And maybe that's something that already should be called out here, noting that it is being treated differently currently in the UDRP, but that there should be a consideration of possibly changing that should there be a requirement, or possibly requiring that for existing TLDs already or something like that. So just to know that that's a point you may want to discuss a little bit more.
Well, I listened to that discussion on last week's call and was sitting there sort of nodding and saying, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and that maybe what we ought to do is a section of the report that says pretty much what you just said, Marika, which is that this is essentially outside of our brief, but that this question came up during our discussion, and it would be a good thing for the GNSO to consider. Is that sort of where you were headed in terms of how to structure that? Does this sentence need to be expanded to do that, or do we do another little section of the report?
This is Marika. The question I would have is whether the working group could also say, based on our review of authoritativeness as we've observed, as requested in our charter, we note that currently there is a discrepancy as for the UDRP, registrar data is considered authoritative instead of registry data, which we believe should be the case in SIG GTLDs or something like that. So therefore, we recommend that this is addressed. And I think then we can leave it up whether that's sufficient to already address it through this way or whether indeed it requires a further a PDP or a separate initiative. But, you know, it would basically clearly state what your intent is. And I think then we can have further discussions on how that should be addressed or in which way. You know, just speaking off the cuff here, I don't know if it's something as part of this PDP we could require or that whether that should be something that is put into the UDRP review, which is already scheduled to take place and I think in a 1 or 2 years' time. So there is already an effort that could look at that if needed or whether you know, this would be sufficient to address that already now.
I think the way to handle this is you know, Lars or somebody could run back to the transcript. I think the sentence that you stated a minute ago was pretty close, with the caveat that I'm not sure that we would want to necessarily recommend that it be done, but simply say, this looks like an inconsistency to us, and that somebody ought to take a look at it. I'm not sure that it's in our brief to recommend changes to the UDRP, but simply to notice it and say, yes, this is very interesting and something that needs to be looked at. Tim, I see that you're agreeing with Marika, as I think I am. Are you okay with my somewhat hesitant posture on recommending things, or are you thinking that we could go ahead and recommend as well?
This is Tim. I think I'm okay either way. I think if we do say, you know, that we recommend something, that what we recommend is that the GNSO take a look at it. Not that we would necessarily recommend, you know, anything specific, but just that, you know, noting the inconsistency there, that it is something the GNSO should look at, however we word it.
Yeah, I think we're all sort of singing on the same page here. Does anybody disagree with that idea? This would be a good time to jump in if you do. So far, I think what we've got is pretty strong agreement in this conversation, at least between me and Marika and Tim. And I think it was also pretty strong agreement on the last call, too. So, Marika, does that give you enough to work on in terms of amping up this draft a little bit?
Yeah, this is Marika. What I may be trying to do is indeed add that specific recommendation as, you know, a number one recommendation, because I guess there may be others as we go through the different drafts that, you know, come up, and then I think at the end when we have all the drafts together, we can decide whether these belong indeed in these specific sections or whether we call out a, you know, a separate chapter in which we list then all the recommendations that flow from our discussion and review of the different items. So, but it's a way actually to record them at least here, and then we can decide at a later stage on whether, you know, where they actually belong or fit best.
Perfect. That sounds great to me. Anything else on this draft? You know, I think this one's been pretty well reviewed, and, you know, it was discussed pretty extensively on the last call, and I thought that the changes captured that discussion. So this is sort of a last call on this one for a while. We'll buy Steve a beer and carry on. Okay, I think what's the next one, Marika, that you want us to take a look at? Data escrow. All right. Let me just make this big enough that I can read it. Now, this one doesn't see many changes at all. It's the one that we pretty much... Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. So this is actually a new draft. So this is basically based on what Alan submitted to the working group, and then we had, you know, reviewed the proposed responses from Alan. I had some additional discussion, and so basically that is what you see here on the screen. So this is really a newer work draft that hasn't been reviewed in its current state.
Okay, now I get it. Thanks, Marika. I'll get to you in a second, Don. We just I listened to the discussion about this on the call last week as well. And the sense that I got was that there was pretty strong agreement, and that, you know, the one sort of topic area for discussion is the point that was raised by the registrars, which is that it's really embedded in the last paragraph that says, you know, at some point, given the structure of things, not necessarily in the context of this working group, it might be a really good idea to take a look at the need for registrar escrow in a completely thick environment. And with that, over to you, Don.
Well, you caught me just as I was looking for that hand up and down control to take my hand down.
Okay. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, and just Marika, I think here at the end, and as, you know, following on from the previous discussion, because we do here have, again, another recommendation, indeed, as you said, to, you know, explore the implications of two data escrow and whether that should be changed or not. So maybe, again, this is one that we then call out specifically and then at a later point decide whether it belongs here in the chapter or whether, you know, at some point we just group them all together as well in one place so people can review all the concrete recommendations that have come from the working group's deliberations.
Yeah, I think that's right. So we'll do that too. Again, putting this one on the pretty well reviewed, pretty much agreed pile, and then sort of leave that continuity presentation question for another day once we've got a complete set of these. Are there any other reactions to this? Again, this one was discussed a fair amount on the last call. And at least my sense in listening to it was that there was pretty solid agreement. So I'm teetering on putting this one in the also reviewed enough for now pile. And I'm not seeing any hands. So I think we'll do that and move on to the next one. Which is synchronization. Marika, go ahead.
So this is Marika, so maybe to explain here as well. So basically, this is also based on the input that was received from Susan and the work her team had done on that. But then in addition, we had some discussions on the call, but then there were also some follow-up emails on the mailing list. So I've tried to integrate all of that into the document you see on the screen. And as I pointed out in my email, it's something that I haven't really incorporated here yet, but it may be something that... I think is something the working group, well, I've noted as an observation, but I don't know if the working group wants to make a strong recommendation out of that. Is this the possible solution to address increased risk for inconsistencies by removing the registrar Part 43 requirement? So I don't know, I think that's a specific item the working group may want to discuss further, whether that's going to be a specific recommendation or more discussion points that's left in here or... So I think that's the main item. And then there's also one comment still on the multi-master replication that I've put forward to Rick to make sure that we have the right reference here. But I think as people observed, it was also relevant for this discussion, so we've also highlighted that part here.
Let's do those one at a time. It sounds like we've got two to talk about. The Port 43 one first, and then I remember a conversation about the multi-master replication last week that was sort of leaning in the direction of saying, not sure we need to specify with that degree of granularity the kind of replication that needs to be done. But let's spend a second on Port 43 for a while. Does anybody, Volker, were you sort of carrying the lead on that conversation? My guess would be that it was you, but I can't really remember. Maybe either you or Tim or anybody else from the registrar side could kick us off on that.
You mean the Registrar Portfolio 3?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a pet project of ours because we don't really believe that it's needed. The port 43 cannot be mirrored, at least as I, as a technical layman, know it, cannot be mirrored from the registry. So that would be one entry point for inconsistencies to develop. As the registry is already providing port 43, and as the registrar will not be pointed at by the registry, I don't think that there will be much demand for registrar port 43. And it's just a risk factor and a cost factor as well, let's be honest. So that's something that we would very much like to see gone for the thick quiz.
Okay, and then Tim jumped into the queue. I'll let Tim go next and then swing around to others. Go ahead, Tim.
This is Tim. I think something that that was in the expert's comments on authoritativeness is important here, and that's that for thick registries, I believe most registrars are actually, when their port 43 is queried, and at least this is in the case of GoDaddy, for example, if you query GoDaddy for a .org, who is on a .org domain name to our port 43, we simply pass that request onto the registry and then pass the response back to the requester. So what they're really getting is the who is from .org. So if that's the case, if that's what most registrars are doing, as the experts seem to indicate, for thick registries, then in reality, synchronization really isn't an issue in that case. Once the transitions have been made. And then that, of course, then brings into question whether the registrar's port 43 is really necessary other than for continuity's sake, you know, on applications on the edge, that need to be taken into consideration given that, you know, it takes time sometimes for those kind of changes to be made in other applications that have relied on it. But in some ways, I think, you know, you might look at synchronization in a similar manner as we look at authoritativeness, that it may be something that in the long run takes care of itself.
Rick Wesson joining Mikey. Apologies for being tardy.
No worries. Welcome to the gang. So Tim raises an interesting choice here. I mean, what this is starting to turn into is another one of those recommendations for others to think about kind of recommendation, it sounds to me. And what Tim brought in to the what I thought was a pretty good summary from Volker is the compatibility with applications at the edge question. And the, you know, I think if we extracted from the transcript the two comments, the one from Volker and the one from Tim, we would have a pretty good description of the issue and the questions to be puzzled through for another one of these. No, this isn't a showstopper for the thick who is discussion, but it's an interesting finding that others may want to look at in the future. Section. So I'll go to Marika. Tim, is that a new hand or is that an old one? I'll go to Marika and watch
that's an
yours.
Old one. I'm sorry. I'll put it down.
No worries. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. This is just to point out that you know we do have as well as a separate topic the registrar port 43 who is requirement as a you know, specific topic to look at, and we did receive as well specific comments on that. So as we consider this further, and you know, not necessarily a suggestion that we maybe do that today, but there are some observations or points that were made as well by some of the other groups that commented. I mean, several actually expressed that they didn't have any specific view at this time, but I think partly as well there, in some of the comments, there seems to be a misunderstanding on between, you know, registrar 43 or port 43 access and the internet-based WHOIS access, where some believe that the suggestion is to eliminate both, while I think if I understood Volker's suggestion well, it would only eliminate the port 43 requirement, but leave the web access requirement in place, which may be something to discuss with the different groups to indeed see if that would be an acceptable solution or whether there still are the same concerns. Because, for example, I think the IPC raises that they believe that redundancy is a feature and not a bug if the goal is to maximize reliable access to WHOIS data. They also know that it's currently also required for existing big GTLD, so presumably there has been a reason to do so. I saw in the comments, I think, from the registries that they actually note, I think, the other side of the coin, which I think the registrars observed were, or the comments made by Volker and Tim, I think, note as well, cost savings. I think they actually note that maintaining registrar port 43 access will help to cut WHOIS server costs for thick registries to the extent that queries are directed at registrar systems. So I think they're both sides of the coin that would need to be considered. So just to note that several groups did provide input there, so and maybe worth to hear some further feedback on this proposal and possibly discuss this further as part of reviewing that specific topic.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect example of where we want to try and get the first drafts of these things done quickly and then start ironing out the inconsistencies or the overlaps between them. Because I think one of the points that Tim raised that's really interesting to me is this notion that the port 43 requests are simply passed on to the registry and then echoed back, but they're accessible via the registrar. That's a different kind of critter, in a way, than actually a full-blown port 43 WHOIS access system. So maybe what we do is we take all of this, summarize it, and then drop it into the port 43 discussion, which is, as Marika correctly notes, coming up. Anything else on the port 43 stuff before we move on to the one other change? And it's great to have you on the call, Rick. We wanted to talk a little bit about multi-master replication, which is on page 2 of this one. And I think that in listening to the conversation last week, the sense that I got was that we maybe didn't need to get this specific, but maybe acknowledge that there are ways that this could be done and perhaps mention this as one of them, but that there wasn't much in the way of appetite in the group, certainly to specify how this be done, but at most sort of acknowledge that there is a variety of ways to accomplish this. So is that sort of a sense of the group? Marika, did you want to jump in on that?
Mikey, if I could.
Oh, Rick. I heard you. Go ahead, Rick.
So, I'm sorry. I'm not actually in front of a laptop to raise my hand. I think you hit the nail on the head. I really like the way that you put that in that I can certainly provide some language to the list so that you have some documentation on what multi-master is and that it's been around for a long time and deployed in many applications. People don't necessarily know about it, but I don't think that we should specify that this is the case. I don't think that that we should actually use this mechanism, but that it exists and that it's an option is very reasonable to put in the report, I think.
I think we're close. I'll read you the language we've got now, Rick. Right now it says, others pointed out that this risk can also be mitigated by making use of multi-master replication. And then there's a footnote that points to a Wikipedia article, which we might want to take a look at. And I think that the way to kind of get to the place I'm at is to say, others pointed out that this risk can also be mitigated by making use of techniques such as multi-master replication, and then I think we're in pretty good shape. Mark,
I think we're just refining the edge of a particular idea, and yeah. that Multi-master shouldn't actually be deployed as a technology. I think that having the registrar communicate to the registry this information, which they have been doing for years in the FIC registries, and as well as EPP was designed for this, provides all of the mechanisms. And that merely this comment is to enumerate an issue that was identified as a risk, but I would be hard-pressed to advocate for its implementation.
Cool. All right. Mark, you're next.
Hi, Marky. It's Mark. I'm struck that this comment seems a little out of place in that it seems to be related to escrow, and I think escrow is where it applies. It says while the registrar would still have and escrow the data, synchronization issues would be removed. You know, I'm not sure. You know, synchronization is the right place for this. I believe, and you know, it would apply to escrow in cases where if you have registrar and registry escrows that are inconsistent, you could use multi-master replication techniques to reconcile the differences. But I think the synchronization, I don't think synchronization is the place to do to make this comment. I think this is more for escrow. That's my understanding of the issues in previous discussions.
I'm going to cogitate about that. Jonathan is going away in the chat here saying, he's got a scoop. Well, never mind.
Mikey,
I think you're raising
escrow. There's a simple scenario that timestamp wins. And so whatever the latest, most recent timestamp is the most recent version.
Let me read you a little more of the paragraph, Rick, since you can't see it. I've got to figure out how to go far enough back to capture the whole thought. I think maybe what we've got is a drafting puzzler here. In thick registries, I'm going to go back a couple of sentences. In thick registries, inconsistencies between the registrar who is and the registry who is may arise, as such modifications are not necessarily transmitted to the registrar. Effectively, registries and registrars could conceivably output completely different WHOIS data. It's suggested that this could be fixed by removing port 43 WHOIS requirements for registrars in thick registries. While the registrar would still have and escrow that data, the synchronization issue would be removed. Others pointed out that this risk could also be mitigated by making use of multi-master replication. I think what we should do is send this one back for a redo, because I think what's happened is we've tangled up two or three concepts in one paragraph, and I don't think they quite flow correctly. I think, Mark, you're right. Some of these things, I don't think that there's disagreement. I just don't know that we've written this clearly yet. Anyway, that's sort of my take on it. Tim, you're next.
Yeah, I guess, and not that I'm promoting one concept over another, but I just think, too, that, you know, one way that the issue solves itself is that if, as I said, you know, or as the experts seem to indicate, registrars are just simply querying the registry for WHOIS data, then, you know, what is the purpose of the registrars maintaining a separate set of data if it's just a duplicate? I mean, really all we've done then is escrow the registry data with the registrars.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some advantage to that, but it could also just simply be solved by the registry escrowing its data maybe in multiple locations, so that there's, you know, backup copies or whatever. And I'm not sure we really gain anything by the registrar being required to maintain a set of WHOIS data that it also escrows, or that it, and maybe whether we decide that's the case or not, that it isn't necessarily necessary. And so I just would hope that we wouldn't just assume that that's what the situation is going to be, but that we make sure we look at all the other possibilities.
Yeah, I think in terms
and
of...
And just one other quick comment, that doesn't necessarily suggest port 43 goes away or doesn't go away, because it could still be available in either case, even if it's just registrars passing the request on to the registry and mirroring their response.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty keen on my idea that this one needs a redo, because... I think it's just awkward drafting that draws some things together in ways that I don't think we intended to. Rick's got a comment that says, in the case of this registry, there is no option for data unsent to the registry to be archived in a registrar's escrow.
So Mikey, what I finally am in front of.
Yeah, welcome to the welcome to Adobe.
Apologies for being late again. The point I'm trying to make is that for data to be committed to a in the thick model. To be committed to the registrar's data that would be escrowed, it would also be required to be transmitted to the registry. So there's no opportunity for, in the thick model, a registrar to have data that is fresher in their escrow data than the registry, because it has to be transmitted to be essentially committed, right, to be published. So in the thick model, there's a prerequisite that the data has to be transmitted to the registry before it is committed. And so there isn't an opportunity for a registrar to have data that would be more authoritative, that is in escrow, that is not at the registry. Does that make sense? Maybe a little flow diagram would.
Yeah, I was thinking that a little flow diagram would be neat. I think
so
that would.
It's kind of an impossible situation. Is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing that's going on in this draft is that we are commingling escrow issues, port 43 issues, and synchronization issues all in the same paragraph, and I think those need to get pulled apart just a little bit. I'm going to chop this one off with Volker unless somebody's just totally beside themselves, because we are getting close to the top of the hour and I want to move along. But can I push this one back to somebody for another try at drafting? Marika, do you want to try your hand at untangling this conversation? Do you want one of us to do that? How do you want to proceed there? It looks like Volker's taking his hand down.
Yeah, I know, you just called me.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on, Volker, and then we'll get to you in a second, but let me get to Marika first.
This is Marika. I was actually hoping that Volker was volunteering to help with that, because I think that's the language that I took from his email on this topic, so I would definitely welcome the help.
Okay. Volker, over to you.
Well, I would like to agree first that probably it would make sense to pull all these different topics apart and make it more clear where we are heading with the synchronization topic. I also would agree with Rick that the registrar's data is always of less importance than the registry data. Of course, when a customer makes a correction to his data, then that data would be fresher, but if it's not in the registry yet, then it would be just a pending change, not an authoritative, at least in my view. But in my view, it would still be helpful if the registrar held on to and escrowed the data, simply to take care of a possible registry failure. We've seen that in a CCTLD 1 or 2 years ago, where they had a data crash and requested all the registrant data back from the registrars because they simply did not have that data anymore. I agree that this would be less of a danger with an escrow system, but you never know. So I think just having a duplicate copy somewhere, and be that with the registrar, makes sense as it adds another layer of security.
Tim just came back in the chat saying, isn't that the purpose of registries, escrowing data? This is a great conversation, but we're flat out of time. Could I ask maybe Tim, Volker, Rick to sort of push some email back and forth and see if you could come up with sort of a diagram of this and a summary of this conversation, because I think it's really great conversation, but we're just out of time. I'm going to kind of leave that hanging. I'm going to leave Volker, you with the action to see if you can kind of drive something forward on that. Is that okay with you?
Oof. The time, I would gladly volunteer.
I know you're busy.
I have a day job as well.
I know. And I know you've got other stuff going on besides this working group.
Yeah, I'll be available for assistance for questions, and I can help drafting, but I simply won't have the time to take the lead on this. Sorry.
Okay. Does anybody want to take was this one of Alan's? I forget who's leading which piece. Alan's not on the call. He almost volunteered me to do something on the last call.
This is Marika. It's actually Susan's, I believe. This was Susan Kawaguchi's sub-team.
Ah, okay. I tell you what, we are out of time. Let's leave this one as something that needs to get fixed. If anybody wants to volunteer, I would be eternally in your debt, but I need to push this along to a question about next week's call. And so rather than belabor this now, I think we've arrived at the point of knowing this needs work. We'll put it on the needs work pile. It may slide out past Beijing to actually get that work done, but so be it. The last question on the list is next week's meeting, and the question for you on the call, using your little green agree disagree your green check mark, is whether green check mark means yes, you're available and willing to meet next week. No check mark means no, I'm traveling or I'm overwhelmed with holiday or something. Or red check mark. Marika's using red. No, I'm not available. So green means, yep, I could do a meeting next week. Red means, no, I don't think so. And I'm getting a smiley face from Aubrey. I have a feeling that next week is at risk. That's the reason I'm asking. Tim can do it. Volker can do it. Lars could join us. I'm tempted to try, just because these conversations are so good, and every time we have one, we move the ball a little bit further forward. So, and I'm getting a few companions. Let me see. People are typing. Let me just see what pops up in the chat real quick. But Carolyn's okay. She's trying to do Chris can. Okay. I think we've got enough check marks to go ahead and hold a call. We will do it knowing that Marika is traveling and that Roy can't join us, and others probably will run into the same thing. But it's a whole week, it's a whole opportunity to talk that's otherwise missed. So we'll, in answer to your question, Marika, before the call, yeah, we'll go ahead and meet next week. And I think given that it's 2 minutes to the top of the hour, we'll call it a day for today. But I'm liking this conversation a lot. It sounds like we're pretty much in agreement along the way here. At some point, we are going to have to circle back around to this data protection privacy one. It shows up in the work plan last, but that's just an artifact of the work planning. And I don't want to get all the way down to the wire and then find that we have a giant disagreement that's hard to resolve. So the data protection folks, on your call tomorrow, if you could start thinking about at least describing the issues and the places that you're finding it hard to arrive at agreement in a tentative way, I think that's important. So I'll leave that last action item with Don. And with that, I'm going to wrap the call up. Oh, Marika's got her hand up. Hang on a minute. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Maria, just a very brief point. On that last note, of course, something that will need to be considered as well, what's on the agenda for the session in Beijing, and maybe indeed the privacy and data protection topic may be a good one to discuss face-to-face.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, that's a thought. So then all the more reason for the team to start framing up the issue as they see it right now. Okay, that's it. See you in a week. Safe travels, all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good Easter. Or whatever.
Thank you very much for coming, and I'll stop the recording.